So last night I found myself facing the dilemma of whether I would do as good a job preparing a presentation for you this morning as the previous speaker did, or whether I would have a nice dinner that would go late into the evening. And, well, it was a very good dinner. I will report some observations from Session B on data acquisition and controls. In many cases, this will just be things that struck me as interesting, not necessarily giving you all of the information that was contained in this session. That would be rather difficult. The session was broken up into five topics. First, and actually I should say that these topics overlapped quite a bit, as speakers covered more than one topic, but we tried to organize it into data acquisition systems, which could be broken up into past, which means those that are nearing the end of their lifetime, present, and future. Tuesday, we spent half the afternoon on detector controls and roughly half on triggering. Wednesday was event building, and Thursday was run control and monitoring. And again, these are fairly broad categories. Okay, past, present, and future data acquisition systems. We had good representation of a large number of experiments where we would put Delphi in the category of nearing its end. A number of running experiments, the largest being Babar. Close to start would be the CDF Run2 experiments and RIC, and of course the future ones being from LHC. Okay, now I'll run through some of these talks quickly just and make a few comments about interesting things that I observed, and then come back and try to look at the whole ensemble together. So first of all, the first talk we had was on online data for experiments, ODE. This is a new data acquisition toolkit at Fermilab, and an interesting thing that I will observe about it, which is part of maybe a trend, is a reuse of certain software components coming from previous generation systems. And I think this reuse of components is a theme that we've heard already in this conference, and hopefully one that will continue. Interesting quote, Java is the implementation language of choice for at least some of these components, and you'll have to forgive me if I come across as pro-Java, I am. In the talk on the Bell data acquisition system, we observed a trend towards commodity. So this is an existing system being upgraded where they replaced their event builder hardware, previous generation custom, future generation a commodity switch. And this use of commodity hardware is another strong theme in the data acquisition systems. As an example of a software component, I liked the data quality monitoring in Babar. It's a software package. I will presume it to be easily reusable that allowed you to do monitoring and comparisons of 1D and 2D histograms, comparing the live data with reference sets, either bin by bin or looking at shape in an analytic form. It appeared to be a very nice OO design, probably worth reusing. One thing one must always say about these kinds of software components, even when we see them being reused, they often bring along some amount of context with them from one place to another. So I think one of the impediments that we find in reusing software components is that they tend to be, sometimes even inadvertently, well integrated with the host environment. And to take it from one place to another drags along that environment. So that's a direction in the maturing of these systems that we will need to see. Okay, a little bit more on data acquisition systems. We see the appearance of various kinds of hardware and software, ATM switch, smart sockets, run control being done in Java. I think we saw a lot of things being done in Java that were of a not performance demanding nature. So as long as you are not trying to analyze physics events, then Java seemed to be a good technology choice. there were a number of discussions about how to build events in the LHC era, and we see switches of 400 by 400, 512 by 512. And in all of these cases, evaluating existing commodity technology. Well, not commodity because that's very large, but at least commercially available. The D0 system, I wrote this down just because of the appearance of NT. Actually, it was only half a dozen years ago that prognosticators would have been saying that NT would replace Linux. And actually, it was interesting to observe the near absence of NT in the data acquisition systems and the resurgence, if you will, of Linux. Not too surprising, I suppose. Okay. We have reuse of a package from Delphi called DIM. This is a publish and subscribe toolkit. It was reused in Babar, as also they reused SMI++, which is a state machine that runs on top of DIM, so uses DIM as its transport. We had a nice talk on lessons learned from Delphi. One of their observations was components, as we've just been talking about, are good, but their observation was the need to have these components very well integrated. Okay, Babar, again, reusing SMI++, also using EPIX out of the accelerator controls community. In their case, they were careful to encapsulate EPIX into C++ component proxies. These components organized EPIX channels, which are single value type things, into constructs which are more natural from an OO point of view. Phoenix was also using EPIX for some of its ancillary controls, in particular the high voltage, but they also made use of OPC, which is OLE for process control. This is Microsoft's way of doing distributed computing and is a strongly emerging industry standard. Their observations were that both of these technologies work, both EPIX and OPC. They had not yet fully integrated OPC into the rest of the system, so it was running in its own little world so far. Okay. Oops, wrong button. Okay, triggering talks. We had three talks on triggering, one for each for our level 1, 2, and 3. They really targeted different sorts of areas. The first was a talk on a simulation of the L1 trigger for CMS muon chamber, heavy use of object-oriented technology, including objectivity. The Atlas L2 trigger talk was looking at large test beds and observation from their use of commodity processors and networks. And then finally, an approach for a future Tesla experiment, a linear collider, is just read everything and then filter after the fact. Now, event building was kind of interesting, if for no other reason than to tackle one of the problems that has appeared to be one of the challenges of LHC era data acquisition systems, and that is how to deal with the massive amounts of data coming off of these detectors. And in all cases, the vote seems to be very strong that commodity network gear is the right direction to go. In particular, I liked two talks, CMS test beds, one where they did a careful evaluation of gigabit Ethernet as the hardware technology, and a similar activity on using MirrorNet as the hardware technology. For those of you who are unfamiliar with MirrorNet, this is a commodity in the sense that it's commercial. You can just go out and buy it, and it has a large user community. Not standard in the sense of, well, actually, there is now a standard for MirrorNet, but it's still a single company type of standard. It is a very low latency network used in high performance computing, particularly in parallel computing, where you run a single job on hundreds and thousands of nodes. So for CMS, they're anticipating a need for a switch that would route 512 inputs to 512 outputs. That's a good bit larger than most of the switches we have running in our computing centers today. However, it is really not that much larger than switches that are nearly in use in the high-performance computing world. In particular, there are some large MirrorNet switches that are already, say, one quarter that size, so it's not so far away. They achieved 100 megabytes per second per link. This is sort of the existing technology for MirrorNet. You can also achieve nearly that on gigabit Ethernet. So bandwidth seems not to be the problem, raw bandwidth. That said, there's still some issues about contentions and bottlenecks in these switches, so there were a number of talks that addressed the issue of how to shape the traffic through the switch so as to avoid those bottlenecks. Babar Online, probably similar observations could be made to the online system as for the offline. Heavily C++, a little bit of Java, and they definitely stressed careful attention to interfaces so that you could well-encapsulated parts that you grab from elsewhere. For example, EPIX. Okay, so moving right along. Now, when we get to run control and monitoring, this is Thursday afternoon session, and as I said, I went to dinner, so I don't have as many details on each of these talks to give you. However, now I will go and make some sort of overview type observations. First, on hardware technologies. Choice of processors. For online systems, the Intel Pentium is a strong contender. Still a lot of use of PowerPC, single board computer type systems, and Solaris and Spark hanging in there. And I think what we're really observing here is just people choosing what the marketplace is providing at good price performance. For buses and crates, I think no real surprises there. For networking, we see quite a lot of different choices being used, but now, again, we're looking at systems that are very mature, just starting to run, and thinking about the future, so you get a widespread. Switch to Ethernet is certainly the most popular choice. We may, in the end, just find that 10 gigabit switched Ethernet solves all of the problems. But I'll have some more remarks to make about that at the end. On software, operating systems, already observed that Unix-like systems continues to carry the day, but Linux now becoming much more strongly used than had been the case some time ago. Languages, certainly OO, a little bit of other software choices, to address, I suppose, in particular, scripting type things, which are not so well addressed in the OO languages. Use of Corba was mentioned in quite a large number of these talks as a software integration bus, not to carry the raw data itself, where you might worry about getting the ultimate in your performance and not wanting to pay the small penalties Corba gives you, but far less extreme performance, it provided a lot of power and flexibility. Physics analysis packages, we're seeing a lot of use of Root, even in the online systems, despite the fact that it was targeted as an offline toolkit. People are wanting to have the same environment in their online systems as they have in their offline, which is probably a good thing because the amount of software that can be reused would be very valuable. Some use of commercial software. There's pros and cons in this. The good side is you get a lot of capability. The downside is, well, obvious. Response time to bugs might be long. High energy physics is not a very important market to a lot of these companies. Open source was certainly popular. It has also its pluses and minuses. But most people seem to think the pluses outweighed the the disadvantages. Okay, moving to bigger systems, scalability, maybe not always obvious. I would say scalability and bandwidth, maybe not so hard. Scalability and other aspects, still difficult. Those experiments close to the end, observation that smooth integration of all of the components has sometimes taken a few years. Those close to start, observation, a real-time prototype would have helped. And I think a good thing that we're seeing for the future large experiments is a steady progression of ever larger prototypes. Okay, some miscellaneous observations. No real controversy this year. In past years, we've had arguments over, well, if we go back far enough, VMS versus Unix, Fortran versus C versus C++. We seem to be in a time where these controversies have just died out, or there's just a lull in them at the moment. We may come back to these sorts of controversies again, but right now there was quite a lot of unanimity in the room. Everybody was pretty much agreeing with what everybody was doing. My own personal observations, there must be some HEP scaling laws, not unlike Moore's law, constants of large data acquisition systems. It would have been fun if I'd had the time to go and dig all these numbers up, but I suspect you would find that there's a near constant on the minutes that your data acquisition pipe takes to fill a commodity disk, the data acquisition rate compared to the bandwidth inside of a commodity switch, the number of tape drives written simultaneously. I suppose that these things are constants of our community simply because there's actually a feedback system operating here, where the experimenters attempt to use everything that they could possibly use and a little bit more, hence the number of tape drives is not one. And as technology gives us more and more, then we demand more and more. So I don't think bandwidth is the problem, but complexity is. These detectors are becoming so large that keeping an eye on them is well beyond what one person can do. And so there was a lot of emphasis on monitoring these detectors in an automated way. Some trends, again, these are not very controversial. Linux is a strong trend. The use of commodity PCs in the online environment. I think we're seeing commodity parts migrating from offline, where we've been using farms of PCs for a long time for doing data analysis, and these parts are migrating closer and closer to the detector, so that now level 3 farms, the event building switch, and now perhaps we'll even see it migrating closer and closer to the detector, where we just use the stuff that a bigger market is providing for us. OO, obviously. Reuse of components, and the offline software following the commodity parts more and more upstream, and CORBA. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chip. Call for questions, comments? Anything more you want to know about data acquisition and control systems? I noted, yes, Harvey.
You made the interesting comment about so many minutes to fill a disk. Is this going to persist in the face of the fact that disk volumes will get very big, but the reading and writing speed won't scale with the volume?
Well, I suppose if you consider RAID arrays as becoming commodity parts, then we can scale the bandwidth to disk arbitrarily large, and we're not doing anything unusual. We're just buying what industry is delivering us. We had an interesting conversation at dinner where I would say this fact of increasing bandwidth with RAID solves the problem for data acquisition, where you really just have a fat pipe and you need to put the data someplace. It doesn't necessarily solve the problem of data analysis, where you have much more random access into a large repository. So for data acquisition, the problem's not hard. For data analysis, It's still stretching the art, the technology.
Okay, are there other questions? Yes, in back, Manuel. Identify yourself, please.
Manuel Delfino from CERN. So since you brought it up, I think that part of the feedback loop needs to be modified to include the budgeting loop, because part of the problem that we're seeing is that test beams, so-called small experiments, are just logging vast amounts of data, and you know, somehow it's not being budgeted what then it will cost to store all this data and then to access this data for offline purposes. So I think that we better start taking this into account, because if people just open up all their triggers, I mean, yeah, clearly the physics will benefit, but you know, we need to make a cost-benefit analysis of this.
No argument with that.
Okay, other questions? No? See, wave your arm harder if you're trying to. Okay, well then let's thank Chip again. And let me call for the next talk, which is session C, Object Persistency and Data Handling, given by Dirk Dulman.